Matthew 6 verse 11, give us our daily bread. When he was a young man, the preacher Dr. Harry Ironside went into a cafeteria to get something to eat. The tables were crowded, and the only place he could find to sit down was at a table across from another man. So he sat down, and as he always did, he bowed his head to give thanks. The other man watched him, and as soon as Ironside had finished, he asked, "What's the matter? Is there something wrong with your food?" Ironside looked at his food and said, "No, it looks fine to me." Then the guy asked, "Have you got something in your eye? Do you have a headache?" To which Ironside replied that he was feeling just fine. "What are you doing then?" the fellow asked. "Why did you bow your head?" Ironside replied, "Well, I was just giving thanks to God for the food I was about to eat." "You believe that stuff, do you?" the guy said, adding, "That's crazy." "Sir," Ironside asked, "don't you give thanks for your food?" The man said, "I never give thanks. I just jump right in." Ironside looked at him and said, "Well, you're just like my dog then. He doesn't give thanks either. He just jumps right in." Now friends, the story isn't about having to pray before a meal. It has to do with gratitude and dependence. It has to do with giving thanks to God for his provision. And praying for God's provision is what our text today is about as well. The first part of the Lord's Prayer tells us that our priority in prayer shouldn't be about our own needs or our own problems. Instead, it should be about God's glory, about his honor, about his kingdom rule, and about the performance of his will. We're to pray for our needs too, but only after recognizing that all comes from God and that all honor and glory is due to him. Jesus teaches us that we're to bring things before the Lord in prayer. It doesn't matter if they're big things, small things, spiritual things, or material things. There's nothing that's not covered in the Lord's Prayer. To put it another way, just as the single beam of light that is shone into a prism contains a rainbow of colors, so the Lord's Prayer captures the rainbow of each and every one of our needs. And our text this morning, verse 11, is a significant part of this rainbow of colors. "Give us this day our daily bread" may be a short and seemingly simple request, but brothers and sisters, make no mistake, it is hugely important in your life and in mine. It's something that we can't sort of skip over or gloss over, because it has implications for our daily lives as well as for our eternal lives. Let's look first at what this means from the perspective of our physical needs. This tiny word daily has been the subject of huge academic discussion. You see, while it's a common word today, it's very rare in ancient Greek, both in and outside of the Bible. Outside the Bible, it's only been found on a scrap of a document, and there it appears to be part of a sort of a shopping list or a list of expenses. And in the Bible, it only appears in the Lord's Prayer. So we have to be very careful about its meaning. It's best to say that it can mean either today, as in give us this day our daily bread, or tomorrow, as in give us our bread for the day that is to come. But beloved, for us as God's people, we shouldn't let this distinction distract us from what Jesus is talking about. You see, Jesus is talking about what we need every day, what we need today, as well as what we need tomorrow. He's saying that we must humbly ask the Lord to provide that which is necessary for our daily living today and tomorrow. So when we pray for our daily bread, we are firstly praying for the needs of our daily lives, our physical needs. Our God is a caring God. He's a gracious God. He cares for us and he cares about our well-being. Jesus shows this care and grace by instructing us to pray for what we need on a daily basis. But it's important to remember that this isn't a prayer for all sorts of luxuries. That's the trap that the followers of the prosperity gospel fall into with their name it and claim it nonsense. What Jesus is referring to is what we need for our daily living. Our needs, not our wants. Our needs, not our greeds. Philip Ryken puts it this way. Jesus teaches us to pray for bread, not for a chocolate eclair. We come before the Lord to pray that in His grace, mercy and care, He will provide the necessities of life. We come before Him to ask for the bread needed for life rather than for lollies or chocolates or cakes. In the books of Exodus and Deuteronomy, we hear how the Lord provided for the Israelites in the desert, feeding them with manna. They had to be humbled. They had to learn to depend on the Lord and on Him alone for their provision. They had to learn to trust in and depend on God the Provider, who provided in all their daily needs. And friends, this applies to us today as well. For we too ought to live in a moment-by-moment dependence on God. This is the same thing that we read in the book of Proverbs, where it says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much, and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?'" This prayer teaches us to come humbly to the Lord with our requests for the necessities of life, for the things we need to live. But for many, especially in countries such as ours where we are well-to-do, a prayer for daily bread can seem quite out of place or even irrelevant. That urgency of putting things like daily bread before God in prayer seems to be missing in many, if not most, lives today. Like the diner in our opening illustration, many people don't see the need to pray to God for such trivial items as our daily bread, our daily needs. Yes, for some it appears to be okay to pray to God for the big ticket items. You know, when there's a COVID-19 pandemic, when you've lost your job, when there's a chance you're going to lose your house, when your spouse is at death's door, when your wife is going into labor or some other major event in your life. But there's no need to trouble the Almighty God, the one who spoke the universe into existence, with the trivialities of everyday life. Shouldn't we be taking care of business ourselves? Perhaps you've even been told that surely God is not interested in these small things. Folks, the brilliant news that the Bible gives us is that God isn't a distant or an absent God. He's not a God who set things in motion here on earth and then chuffed off, leaving us to cope on our own. No, the God who created the entire universe, the God of space and of time and of eternity, is also our provider God. The God who is infinitely holy and completely self-sufficient also cares for us and provides for our needs. Not just the big ones, but every need. The greatness of our God lies in His coming down to us, to meet us where we are and how we are. And through His Spirit, He is with us now and always. And there's more, this triune God, this God who loves us, this God who cares for us, also knows us. He knows our needs in every detail. And meeting these needs isn't just an expression of His power or His love. It also glorifies our provider God. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, for He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. In the first letter of John, we read that this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. You see, Scripture tells us that God wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. This is best highlighted by Christ's sacrifice on the cross, that wonderful sacrifice through which we've been adopted into God's household. As Paul puts it, "You received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, 'Abba, Father.'" The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ. If He cares so much for us that He was willing to send His Son as an atoning sacrifice, even when we were still His enemies, How much more so now that we've been adopted into his household, now that we've become sons and daughters of the Most High, now that we've become co-heirs with Christ. If he knows how we are formed and what our needs are, then surely, surely he cares about you and me in every aspect of our lives as well, whether they are big or trivial. In teaching us to come to the Lord in prayer not only for the big ticket items, but also for the little things in life, Jesus tells us that we need to look to God daily, depending on him for and in everything. This, of course, doesn't mean that we can just sit back and say, God will provide. That's not the way it works. We cannot just sit idly by and wait for God to let the flowers in our gardens bloom if we haven't even planted the seeds or the bulbs. You aren't going to magically be prepared for that exam that's just around the corner. The project report that you have to write for your boss or for a client isn't going to appear out of thin air. Yes, God does answer prayer, and yes, we can rely on his provision always. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't actively use the gifts and the abilities that God has so graciously given us. We trust in God to provide us with what we need to accomplish what he wants us to accomplish. You see, God wants us to bring our everyday needs to him, even if they do seem trivial. He made us with needs so that we could look to him to supply them. When we pray for our daily bread, we're not praying to overcome some sort of reluctance or hesitancy on God's part. No, we pray for our daily bread because we want to grab hold of his gracious willingness to give us what we need. We pray for our daily bread because we submit to his provision. We pray because in that prayer we are proclaiming our faith in him to answer our prayers and to meet our needs. And beloved, this is what God wants. He wants us to depend on him daily, humbly, like the Israelites were taught to do in the desert. Trust in him to provide what you need today. Trust in him to provide the same tomorrow. Trust in him to provide all that you really need. And don't forget to bow your head in thanks as well. Our text speaks to us firstly about praying for our physical needs, the things that we need to sustain us on a daily basis. Jesus encourages us through this prayer and in this prayer to submit our daily needs to the Lord in prayer. All our needs, yes, even the ones that others may think as being too trivial to bother God with. And for some commentators, especially the more modern ones, that's where it ends. For them, this petition has just to do with the physical needs aspect. Nothing more, nothing less. Just the physical needs. But beloved brothers and sisters, there's no doubt in my mind that to leave it there does a huge injustice to this request to the Lord. And just in case you might think that I'm bringing in some new theory, let me just say that I'm in very good company here, for some of the early church fathers agree with me. You see, there's a much deeper significance to this request too, for this request also has a spiritual perspective, and it's on this aspect that we're going to turn the spotlight next. For all of us, young or old, new Christians or more mature ones, this spiritual aspect is hugely important. Let me put it to you this way. If you remember only one thing about this sermon today, let it be this. This petition has to do with Jesus, for it's very much also a petition for our spiritual bread. This petition has to do with Jesus, our bread of heaven. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Jesus' sacrifice on the cross in that joyous feast which we call the Lord's Supper. Together as brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we recalled and celebrated in the bread and the wine the death and resurrection of Jesus for our salvation. There's just so much theological content, so much spiritual content, so much depth in the rich imagery of the bread that we shared. And friends, the imagery in our text is theologically just as rich. The picture of the daily bread that's necessary for our physical life is also a picture of what is necessary for our spiritual life. And this is something that the early Christian community would have understood without even having to think about it. The prayer tells us We are to humbly approach our God and rely on Him for the provision of our daily bread. Beloved, if that is the case, if we are to depend on God's provision for the things of this life, how much more are we to trust in and rely on Him for the bread of our spiritual life, for the bread of eternal life? Our daily physical bread is a picture of the eternal bread that we have in Jesus. He is the bread of heaven. He is the bread of life. He is the bread of today and the bread of tomorrow. Listen to the words of Jesus as the Apostle John proclaims them to us. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." The people to whom Jesus was speaking were thinking of physical feeding, just as the lady at the well thought about physical water rather than the living water of Jesus. But Jesus knew they had a far greater need, a spiritual need, so he pointed them to himself as the one who could satisfy that far greater hunger of the soul. This is Jesus. He's not just the living water. He's the bread of heaven. He's the bread of life. Praying for our daily bread spiritually means asking God to draw us closer to Him through His Son. Sadly, many Christians allow work or family life or friends to come between them and the spiritual bread of Jesus. They may pray for the physical bread, but they neglect the spiritual bread. They neglect spiritually feeding on Jesus through His Word, studying His Word diligently, and sitting under the teaching and preaching of His Word. But Scripture tells us that whoever comes to Him will never go hungry, and whoever believes in Him will never be thirsty. Friends, let me be clear about this. You will never go hungry while the daily bread of grace is on the table of mercy. If you come to Jesus to be filled spiritually, He will do so more than generously. The grace on that table of mercy just does not run out. And the beauty of that is that we don't have to worry about that gracious bread running out. And that means we can share the bread with which we have been graced. No, we must share it. By asking the Lord to give us our daily bread, physically as well as spiritually, we're acknowledging our dependence on Him. We're placing our trust in Him and in His provision. Last week I sent out a brief devotion that touches on this very dependence and trust. It was based on what Peter said in his first epistle. Cast all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Brothers and sisters, cast all your anxieties on the Lord. He will supply each and every one of our needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. When we pray for our daily bread, when we pray for the necessities of life, what can be more necessary for life, for our eternal life, than being in Christ Jesus? Without Christ, we'd still be subjects of the righteous wrath of God. Without the bread of heaven, we'd still be enemies of the Lord. Without the bread of life, we would still be dead in our transgressions. When we pray for our daily bread, we are praying for the heavenly bread to be our portion too. And we look forward to that glorious day when we will enjoy the heavenly feast together in the life to come. Beloved in our Lord Jesus, feed on the bread of heaven, and you will never, never, never be hungry. Amen. Let us pray. All that we have and receive, Lord, we receive from your loving hands. We thank you for your daily provision in our lives, and Lord, we look forward to you for all our tomorrows. We look forward especially to the day when Christ returns, and we will celebrate that joyous feast with him in heaven. O Lord, give us our bread for each day, the bread that imparts not only physical life, but also eternal life. Feed us, Lord, now and evermore. Amen.